commentary in my Bible about the first, the whole chapter. I'm not, y'all familiar with the story of Lazarus in the Bible? Huh? Most of us are. So I won't go and read the whole 40-some-odd things. I just want to share with you the commentary. The story of Lazarus' death and resurrection contains a prolonged teaching about sorrow. When Jesus served, when Jesus arrived and then was taken to the graveside, he wept openly. Onlookers were impressed with the power of his grief and immediately recognized that it's an indication of his great love. Shortest verses in the Bible, Jesus wept. So it showed how much he loved, they said. The tears that Jesus shed that day forever. I'm going to have to get my other glasses. Anyhow, the tears that he shared was love, the tears of love. And people don't understand that sometimes. It's okay to go to a funeral service and celebrate somebody's life and shed tears. You know why in the Seder thing that we're going to do, is that this Thursday? Next Thursday. One part of the Seder meal is salty water. Do you ever notice when you do cry that your tears are salty? It's to let the bitterness out. It's to also cleanse. It's just a wonderful thing the way God created. Forgive me for not having my glasses. I thought these were strong enough, but I guess they're not. But I think I can read my notes because I make them bigger. I saved one of Gene Engelhardt's little things. You know, you go to a funeral service, they give you one of these little things in memory of and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes there's usually little words of wisdom in there. But there's a famous person that you may or may not know. His name was Robert Ingersoll. He is probably famous for being an agnostic, meaning he didn't believe in anything. He didn't believe in God. He didn't believe in nothing. He was just agnostic. Well, he died. The printed funeral program left this solemn little instruction. There will be no singing. Isn't that good? You go to a funeral and there's no singing. That was what his instructions were. There will be no singing. Now, without faith, few feel like singing in the face of death. When we face that, without faith, we couldn't be able to sing either. Perhaps running, crying, certainly, but not singing. Not in the face of death. For without faith, death steals our reason to sing. Death takes the song off of our lips and leaves it in place, stilled tongues and stained cheeks. Now, we know that is true not only because we have experienced it, but also because we saw it happening. If you remember the story in the Gospels this morning about Lazarus, there is no singing at the funeral. Jesus attended at Bethany, only mourning and weeping, only wailing and crying, but no singing. The home of Mary and Martha was more like a prison than a home. People shuffled about aimlessly. Their faces downcast. Their eyes were dull because of the death that took place of Lazarus. And on their lips was no music, only just sadness, no laughter, only grief that reminded them of their loss. Another prisoner of sickness has been visited by the jailer of death. Another person caught up in death's icy grip had been taken from them. Lazarus had died. Gone. Shokio Yokai, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right, was a Japanese soldier. And he spent 28 years in prison. Not prison walls, but a prison of fear. You see, when the tide in World War II turned, Shokai was a Japanese soldier on the island of Guam. What was his fear? He knew what the Japanese soldiers did to the prisoners of war, the United States and their allies. He knew what they did to them. And when he heard the war was over, he did not want to be captured. So he hid, fearing that defeat meant certain capture and death at the hands of the American forces. Shokai ran into the jungle and he hid in a cave. And then he later learned that the war was over by reading one of the... They took pamphlets and they would drop them out of the aircraft to let the people know that the war was over. He finally got a hold of one of those and he read it. But he still feared to become a prisoner. So he remained in that cave for over 28 years. He came out only at night. And he existed on eating frogs. Ugh, rats, roaches, mangoes. Now, mangoes are good. I don't know about the frogs and the rats. A few years back, some hunters discovered him out on the island. It was only after they sent word back to Japan for one of the aged retired commanders of the Japanese army to come and to talk to him. And that commander was able to convince him that it was safe to come out and return home. You knew what we did for Japan after the war. We rebuilt them. So he didn't have anything to fear. But he was had that fear. And it was like being in a prisoner all his life. 28 years of living in a cave because he was afraid. 28 years lost in his life because of fear. What a shame. How could a person be so foolish? How could a person be so imprisoned by fear? A life wasted because he was afraid to come out. A life lost. And it's all too common in our society. The fear of death has filled thousands of prisons. Not prisons with bars, but prisons. The fear of death has filled thousands and thousands of people in the walls that they build around them and the sadness. And you can't even see the warden. You can't even see the locks, but you can see the prisoners. You can see them every day around us as people slip away through life around us. Hoarding all they can get for themselves, grabbing more and more and looking for the meaning of life, and yet they are still dead. People imprisoned by fear and hiding from life, each under the sentence of death. The Bible puts it this way, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that's all because the wages of sin is death. Death is like a ball and chain tied to our leg. We try to run from it, but we can't. It's weight too heavy and it slows us down. We can't even try to pick it up and carry it. But we can go far. The burden's too great. We just can't make it too far. We can try to ignore it, but it's always bringing us down. It may be a sudden sickness or a death of a loved one. It may be a doctor's diagnosis or a CAT scan results. Whatever it is, it reminds us that we are all under the same sentence. It is death. Mary and Martha faced that day. Their brother Lazarus had been seriously ill. There were two of Jesus' closest friends. And they sent for Jesus. And he didn't come. Now they witnessed Jesus' healing power. They knew that if he would come, if they could get him to come, they would save their brother. They felt their brother would be in no more danger if Jesus was near. So they kept calling for him and searching out for him. I think we can appreciate those feelings also. Who hasn't called upon the name of the Lord in trouble, when we are in trouble? None of us ever thought about not saying, if only God would help. But Jesus didn't come. In fact, by the time he made it to Bethany, Lazarus was already dead. He was in the tomb for 4 days. Scripture said, he stinketh. Martha was wondering, what kind of friend is this Jesus guy? She had heard that he was approaching town, so she stormed out the meeting. Lord, if you'd only been here, if you'd only come sooner, my brother would not have died. There is hurt in these words. Hurt and disappointment. The one person who could have made a difference didn't. And Martha wants to know why. Why, Lord? And when you think about it, when we experience death and different things in our families and so forth, we want to know too, why? Perhaps we've done what Martha has done. We've called upon the name of the Lord, sought out healing, asked God for help, and looked to Jesus to come. And we can almost just hear Martha's plea in our psychic. Surely he'll come. Surely he'll help. He didn't help that crippled person. Oh, yeah, I remember he did. He healed the leper, and he made the man walk again. He gave sight to the blind, and he helped the lame. And they didn't even know him. Here, my brother and Jesus don't come to help. We think, surely he'll come. Surely he'll help. But Jesus didn't come, and Martha was upset. He didn't help Lazarus because Lazarus even got worse. Martha was left to watch and to wait. Sometimes when we're with a patient through hospice and so forth, and it's getting time close to the end and there's not much you can do, and we just say, well, we're on death watch. And that's the way Mary and Martha was with their brother Lazarus. They were on death watch. And Lazarus slipped into unconsciousness, getting weaker and weaker. Martha whispered in his ear, hold on, Lazarus, hold on. He'll come, I know he will. He'll come, he'll be here soon. But Jesus didn't come. He didn't help. And finally, it was done. Lazarus slipped away. When Jesus came, Martha's hurt. I think we know how she felt. For her words sometimes could be our words. They have been echoed in the minds of countless people over the years as they make their way to the graveside. If only you would have been here. If only you had helped my brother. If only, Lord, if you would have helped my husband. If you would only help my wife, my child. They would have got well, Lord. We cry out that way. If you're doing your part, God, none of this would have happened. If you were doing your part, God, we wouldn't be hurting like this. But see, our life is very similar to what took place in the life of Mary and Martha. The grave unearths our view of God. Death forces us to look in. When we come face to face with death, our God is a challenge, and we are forced to examine our faith. And when we face death, we are forced to ask, where is God? And yet, why do we think that when a person is not healed, that God was not near? Why do we interpret the presence of death with the absence of God? It's because that's how we think. And as a result, when God doesn't answer prayers for healing, we think, God, well, he's just not there. And as a result, we experience death and sadness. We think God doesn't care, and that isn't true. Listen to the conversation with Martha. As Martha rushes out to see Jesus, she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. She still had faith. She thinks that he's talking about the resurrection of the last day. So Jesus had to clarify her. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And those who believe in me, even though they die, they will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. For death has never stood in the way of God. God is present even in the face of death. Billy Graham, I like to watch some of these old crusades that Billy Graham has done on Christian television. Billy Graham had a crusade in Seattle right after the first Persian Gulf War. And in the crusade, there was a young lady that came by the name of Shirley Lansing, and she spoke to the crowd about the death of her son. She said, I had came here with a story about my son, Warrant Officer John Morgan. Shirley told the crowd that her son Jack had been baptized as a child and had grown up in the church. She said, I guess he had always believed in God, but it didn't seem like no big deal until recently. She said, a few weeks ago, two officers came to our door and informed us that he had been killed in a helicopter accident. The helicopter was shut down by enemy fire and he was killed. The most moving moment in Shirley's story came when she said, I speak to you only from my heart, Only God can give me the strength to stand here and tell you and say these words. But it's so important that I speak them. And it's so important that you listen. Each of you have had the same decision to make that my son made. Believe in God or not. And now is the time for you to decide, for none of us ever know how long we have. 3 weeks before her son had been killed in action, a half a world away, he had written the family a letter, only to be opened. It was a just-in-case letter, just-in-case. And after receiving the devastating news about her son's death, Shirley and the family gathered together and read the just-in-case letter. And it was filled with John's reassuring words. He ended the letter with these words, "In case you have to open this letter, don't worry. I am all right, and I know something that you do not know. I know what his heaven is like. Praise be the Lamb of God." Standing before the grave of Lazarus, Jesus wept. He wept and shed tears of sadness and pain that Mary and Martha had felt, and he weeps for every family who has ever stood at the grave of a loved one. But he also sheds with the tears of frustration that we cannot see beyond the grave, that we refuse to hear the words of comfort and peace, that we think that death is the final word. And to prove once and for all that death has no power when he is present, Jesus cries out, "Lazarus, come out!" It only took one call. It only took one word. And Lazarus heard his name. His eyes opened. His life returned. And rising from the grave, he came forth and was well and healed. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go. For death cannot triumph where Jesus is present." You see, God has the last word. God wanted them to know, and God wants us to know, that death does not triumph where Jesus is present. Now, Jesus was present with them in the physical realm, but he is also present with us in our hearts. Always. "For where Jesus is, there is life. I am the resurrection and the life. Where Jesus is, there is life. When Jesus is present, we are set free. The keys to the prison are in Jesus' hands. And when Jesus is present, there's no need to fear. For death has no power over us. And through faith in Christ Jesus, we are set free." I'm going to close with this little short story because it's just so encouraging. Don Webb, the former president emeritus of Centenary College, was born in Wales, and he served in the British Navy. And after coming to America to begin his ministry, and while he was in the British Navy, he was named captain of HMS, that's His Majesty's ship, Swithe. And as captain, he wanted to impress his crew and how wise and brave that he was. And his first assignment was to check the anchors that held the buoys in place. You see these anchors and so forth in the bays, and they're anchored down on the bottom to keep them from moving away. And that was the assignment of that ship, was to check the anchors to make sure that they were in place on the buoys. Now, you had to go down and check them. He didn't want to let the crew know that he didn't know what to do or how to do it. He thought, what's a big deal? Just put on that suit, you know, the big helmet and all that, and down he goes. Well, he knew that the previous captain had always done that. He went first, and he felt that he had to do the same. The only problem was that Webb had never gone deep sea diving before in his life. He knew absolutely nothing about it. Rather than admit that he didn't know anything about it to the crew, no way. He said, "Nope, I'm gone." Scared to death, he put on that heavy suit, thick gloves, leaded shoes, huge helmet, reached the bottom of the ocean floor, and he began to panic. And as he tried to take his first step, he realized that his feet were stuck in the mud. And worse yet, he couldn't move. But he remembered they told him, if you get into trouble, tug on the lifeline. That'll let us know that you're in trouble. Well, when he fell forward into the mud, he let go of the lifeline. The last thing could ever happen, and there he was in the face of death, literally face down in the muck. He was thinking, "Oh, is this how it's going to end, Lord?" However, in a couple of minutes, he had a touch on his shoulder, a light touch. And there was an experienced diver came down to pick him up and unstuck him from the mud and to get him back on his feet again and bring him to the surface. That's the same way Jesus does. He gets us out of the mire and muck and brings us back to life. Jesus comes to us in our need, and he enters our world. He comes down to help us, and he said, I am the resurrection and the life, and those who believe in me, even though they will die. You remember, Lazarus still ended up dying, even though he was raised from the dead. And we're going to experience physical death also, unless the Lord comes for us first. And I think we could be that generation. Not a date setter, don't know, but I just know what this word says in Matthew 24 and other places, that we could be. Prophecies lining up to a point that we could be. But if not, we're going to face physical death. But we don't have to fear it. It's hard to go through it. I'm not saying that it's not. But we don't have to fear it. We need to, don't have to hide behind closed doors, for we have a friend who comes and helps us. What a friend we have in Jesus. I love that hymn. Because he holds the keys to eternal life. And death cannot imprison us. Praise God in Jesus' name.